robots are smart, people are stupid. 7 out of 10 dentists prefer sharing personal information with bots versus humans. So buckle in for another great episode of the Startup Showcase with Trust co-founder Bobby Goodman. Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNoreen live from TechNexus, not WGN, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Joining me, Bobby Goodman, co-founder of Truss. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott.
So right off the bat, I mean, it's a real estate company, so I don't think there's like a whole lot that we have to introduce here. But why don't you give people sort of a rundown of what Truss is?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the intro. So Truss, while it is a real estate company, we're really first and foremost a technology company. And so having a background in commercial real estate of about 15 years now, working in the commercial brokerage space, I've seen a lot of pain points, I've seen a lot of stories, and I've seen a lot of customers looking for space that really don't know what they're looking for and where to begin their search. One of the bigger challenges they face is sometimes getting the attention of the brokerage community to actually pay attention to them and help them with their needs. And that's where kind of Truss was created from, which is, you know, how can we make a really laborious, awful, boring process super engaging, really easy, and make the data transparent so that companies looking for space can make confident, more informed decisions?
So, I mean, I get all that, actually, and I appreciate a lot of it because I don't know if you know this, but I actually spent the first part of my career in commercial real estate, subleasing and leasing out and acquiring strip malls from Minnesota to Rockford to Woodridge, all over the place, for a couple million square feet of real estate. And so I would spend time, and this is actually kind of funny. You might not find it as funny as I found it, which is why I left. Lots of entrepreneurs at the time, it was not startup founders. It was want to start a restaurant, want to start, you know, whatever store that I thought I should open up that Amazon would later kill. And I would meet with these guys and think like, all right, you know, it's not like real estate's necessarily a small investment. Like you're signing up for a commitment of, you know, upwards of $100,000 for the year for this space, you know, 7,500 square foot space in a strip mall. And you want, you know, lots of things I'm thinking you want, like I'm trying to negotiate. So obviously, you know, I'm not going to tell you all the tricks, but, you know, getting stuck in a corner is probably not good. No street signage, probably not good. And these are questions that these guys would never ask. And I'm sitting there thinking like, how in the hell do you not know to add? Like you've got, I'm assuming every bit of every dollar that you've saved in your life. And they don't even ask the simplest questions that like are incredibly important as it pertains to like the placement of where their space is going to be. Obviously startup world branding on your, you know, on your building is maybe a little less important, but I guess it was an eye opener to me that as a working in real estate for my own success, because obviously having a dead center is no good either. I had to be an informer. I just sit here and talk to these entrepreneurs and be like, listen, man, like you need to like your business plan. First off, like I just looked at it as part of the process and that actually kind of sucks. I've got some questions there, but I'm not the guy who's supposed to be taking this, you know, taking this topic with you. And then you go through this laundry list of check-in stuff. And you're like, nope, no idea where we're going. Nope, no idea who this is. Nope, no idea where our brand signage is. Nope, no EPSs. Nope, no. What the hell are you doing? And so like when I see what you guys are doing, I love it because I think that was retail. That was like people who like assuming they have had a business for a while, or at least this is probably not their first go round. We're talking about startups in tech who you guys are representing a lot of times who have, they're like 26 with a fresh zit. Like they literally have no idea any of the answers to the questions you would normally have. So you guys like focus on really helping them out, which I think is amazing. But how did you get to that spot? Like, how did you guys recognize in this business, we have to be educators and like for the people and build tech that people can understand and intuitively use rather than just being a broker?
Great question, and love the story about the strip center that you represent.
Oh my God, the strip center stories. We can carry on the rest of this interview just on strip center stories. I got a guy shooting guns at a strip center stories.
So he was looking for a gun store, obviously.
He was looking for the liquor store, actually.
Improve his stay away from him.
Yeah. Short ending to this, I leased out the space to City Trends the day I was on site showing them the space. When this dude walked out, the liquor store was shut, closed, and wouldn't let him in. And literally started firing off rounds in the air, I still closed that property.
Nothing gets a deal done like guns a-blazing, right?
That's what I'm saying, man. Get them excited. This place is popping.
But anyway, kind of back to your original question. You hit the nail on the head. It is all about managing expectations from an educational standpoint. So what our technology does is, if you think about all those questions that you asked that potential client, right? How many clients did you ask those same questions to? You add it up, you're spending dozens, if not hundreds of hours asking the same questions over and over.
Yep.
All we've done is package that in such a way where we ask these onboarded clients the same exact questions in a much different manner in layman speak that they understand, so that when we get those answers back, first of all, we don't have humans asking those questions, and that's where our artificial intelligence comes in, and that saves our in-house brokers tons of time. But we can then qualify these prospects and help shuttle them in the right direction based on the answers we get from them.
And you know what's funny about that? I had Amanda Lander, the CEO of Jellyvision, on. And she was talking about their bots and all the things that they've been building. And she said, I actually asked her, I was like, you know, it seems, for maybe some older folks who are listening, it seems like they'd be like, ugh, another bot. Like, another example of not being able to talk to a human. And the funniest thing Amanda said to me was, we thought that too. We actually did a lot of testing to make sure that, like, people were okay with us using lots of bots. And the end answer came out that people, by and large, by a large percentage, lie. When they speak to the person, when you call me and say these questions, I feel a little bit embarrassed telling you how much money I expect to make or I do make, whatever, and I bullshit you. And then you give information down on paper and set me up with a lease that's going to kill me later because I lied to you. And you put a bot in front of them and they're like, yeah, sure. Yeah, true.
It's
truth, false.
Crazy.
True. It's unbelievable.
They trust the bot more than they trust me.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, and you're a trustworthy looking guy.
I am a trustworthy looking guy.
You're very trustworthy looking, which is it's important in your business.
But it's funny, we actually, I've got three other co-founders, and so...
Are they as trustworthy looking as you, though?
Absolutely, okay. If not more so.
That's saying something.
Strong founding team. But it's funny you mention that, because we actually... So a lot of companies get scared by what we call representation agreements.
Yep.
And what that is that's a broker looking to get you to sign your rights away to us so that we can represent you exclusively and basically guarantee ourselves that the work we put in
gets
paid. And it's not an unreasonable request, but it definitely puts...
Not with the amount of work that goes into this. That's the other part. Is people think it's as simple as like just look on Google and be like, oh, yeah, there's 42 places. You know, that's great. Good luck with that approach.
Good luck with that approach is right. And so we have our clients sign an agreement at some point in the process, and we have 100% signing rate. They trust the bot more than they trust us, which is crazy. Because I would get a 50% signing rate when I was doing traditional brokerage. And then you get the side eye and people looking at you like, what am I signing here? And we're not experiencing that at all. So I agree with you.
Yeah, 100%. No, it has proven itself time again. And I think... I don't know if that scares me. I feel like that scares me a little bit.
It's a little scary.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
it's a little scary.
But then again, like you think about, I've never gotten screwed over by a bot that I'm aware of.
Right.
You know, like once I start getting screwed by robots, then, you know.
Bots can't lie to you.
So they say. So they say.
Yeah, someone's working on it somewhere.
Facebook, did you see this article? Facebook shut down their AI program because it taught itself a new language that was not English, and they lost control of it. So like, yep, and they shut it down.
That's
this
incredible.
Is a real thing.
I did not hear about that.
Yeah, that's a real thing. So like once T1 starts, you know, his neural net processors are learning computer, once it starts moving on to new things, I probably will be a little more reluctant. But regardless, I think it's important that people recognize that the companies that, you know, yet another reason to sign the agreement with you guys. I just have an automatic, I don't want to call it distrust, that's not fair, but like it's pretty close to a distrust of firms of any capacity. I don't care if it's real estate, medical, whatever, that... like wholly neglect to upgrade technologically. I feel like you can't possibly represent me in the way that I expect to be represented, need to be represented, if you are not yourself upgrading your technology. Like, how could you find a spot for me and my team to build our tech company if you don't understand the minimum like basis of tech? You don't understand any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I feel like for companies like in real estate, it's one of those where they're starting now to like really get it, and it's rapid tech mode. But the ones that are grounded in tech, like Truss, is like a company that I can totally like get behind. So what I want to do is give the listeners an example of what it would be like.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do a little mock here.
Okay.
I'm going to walk up to you on the street or in this random studio at 20 North Wacker, Suite 1200, Tech Nexus. And I'm going to ask you, I'm looking for space. And I want to like have you kind of simulate, if you can, briefly, like what the process would be like for me off the street if I reached out to you guys. We have a team of 10 to 12 looking to grow as many as 5 more people through the end of the year. We need a 1-year lease, but I want to make sure that if possible, there's any fluidity for me in case, you know, we have to retract and get a little smaller. What would the process look like for me?
So the good news for me is this is about 70% of our customer base
I was aiming
is experiencing
for
this. So you nailed it. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But basically, you just told me about 90% of what I need to know. And so based on you being a startup, which means you're burning through cash, going to your next round.
Use the internet heavily. So we're going to need really, really good dedicated internet.
Not going to be a problem in this day and age. So any of the buildings that you would look at downtown would really supplement your needs just fine. But, you know, first is, where do you want to be? And then I'd ask you why. So if you said to me, I want to be in the East Loop by Grant Park, I'd ask you why. I'd challenge you a little bit.
West Loop, because I live in the suburbs and I take Metro, and my team needs to take the L.
Perfect. Then I'd say, great, you've got access to Brown Line, Green Line, Purple Line, all the lines you need, and the Metro station. So that's a great spot for you. Okay, you want a one-year lease? That's going to be a challenge in this city. You know, what's your budget look like? You're going to tell me what your budget looks like.
Yep.
And then I'm probably going to show you around to either
$8,000 a month.
$8,000 a month? Well,
I can go a little higher, but like that's the number where I feel like if we had to eat it because we couldn't put together a breakout clause or something, then I could eat that for a few
months. Okay, so you're looking at accommodating, let's say, roughly 15 people at $8,000 a month. The good news is you can now afford Midtown Manhattan. So the great news is you've got a limitless budget, but the challenge you're facing is your lease term. Lease term is probably the number one or 1A driver in determining what works best for a client along with budget. And the reason for that is most landlords are looking for long-term leases, especially in the hot market that we're in now and have been for a few years. They're able to push the limits of what they're looking for. So most landlords won't do anything less than a 3-year lease. We're going to go find you a great sublease or a co-working space. All the flexibility in the world for you guys. So you can grow and contract as you see fit.
Perfect. With that, if I were to say to you then, what kind of language could be put in this lease if I wanted to get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
Or like to make sure that I'm not on the hook? Or are there any terms where if I said I had a clause, it would be like, I've got 6 months to commit to 3 years. And if it's up to 6 months, I want to walk away. So like for up to 6 months, I could walk away on this 1-year lease without owing you anything. But after 6 months, if I commit to stay, I'm in for 3 years.
You're definitely a broker. Show me a landlord who would do that, and they're going to do amazing on our site. The reality is when you're looking for a lease that short term, you're already getting the built-in flexibility just by being signed a 1-year lease.
Yep.
But traditionally,
well, because I look at this like I'm speaking to a lot of the startup companies.
Right.
This is a problem that I've seen put out of business. Mm-hmm. Numerous startup companies. The reason we bring guys like you on the show, I've seen personally, like actually been a part as an advisor to multiple startups who were at 1871. Life was cushy, $300 ahead, no problems, good to go, cancel any time. We need our own dedicated space. Too distracting. So they get the space. Sign up. It's cool. It's got high ceilings. It looks like you said, Midtown Manhattan. Looks very cool, very hipstery. They put in their little kegerator, pool table, all this other shit that's in there. And next thing you know, they're like, oh, we raised a little capital, so they hire 10 people more. Well, now their burn rate is like at a certain point where like if they don't actually continue that rate, and they never were at that rate, it was just a raise that made it hit that rate, they have to fire some people.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, they literally are contending with how much they have to pay, and now we got to move out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get sued because they're in a contract that owes XYZ, and that other company actually has a deposit, so they've got a good portion of money even there. So whatever potential negotiation they could have had is gone.
Gone.
And literally they just start dwindling their team down to like, let's just do what we absolute bare minimum, and they're paying more money for rent than they are for overhead on their actual staff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're screwed. And that's what happens, and they don't understand. They don't have a broker, and that's, I guess, the number one reason why people should go to people like Trust and our guys at Jones Lang LaSalle. If you don't understand that, you need a good broker, a good lawyer. You need a good lawyer and a good broker, or you're going to be screwed.
Right.
So I guess, you know, kind of walk me through, from your standpoint, like, what do you tell people when they come in and, like, I want all these things? And
I mean, we've actually just went through this exact process about 2 months ago. We had a client, had way too much space, but it worked for them 2 years ago when they signed the lease. Now their staff is thinned out. We sublet their space. So you need to have the ability to sublease or assign your lease.
Now, do you find that for them? Did you find it for them? Or, like, was there a fee on that? Because I imagine, like, some of the contracts, like, forbid me from, obviously, subletting.
I mean, to see that contract. You need a broker.
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't sign that. Yeah. I'm not stupid. I wouldn't sign that. But I'm saying, like, these, I've seen them where, like, they're not letting you sublet it because that's not, like, they have to do a credit check on that person. And maybe they want to, you know, if they want to play ball, every landlord can. If they want to play ball with you and go through the process, they can.
Right.
But if they're hard up, or there's not an opportunity, or the building maybe isn't that great, or there's any sort of problems, mm-hmm. they're going to be, of course, like reticent to, like, right now they got you.
Right.
Like, I got you and I got your money on the line. If I sublet, now all of a sudden that opens up question.
It does. But what we did for this company is they were looking to downsize. We gave them the ability to post their space on New Truss, which is 100% free listing site.
Nice.
Then our tenant base, you know, who we're regularly bringing on board and signing up, is usually searching for spaces that are smaller with shorter lease terms.
Sure.
We found a match within 17 days. The deal was done. That client of ours was ecstatic, moved into a lesser space that cost them a lot less money.
You're like a lease trader for space.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. It depends on the scenario, but sure, that'll work.
That's awesome. Very cool. I guess, you know, we usually like to let people give kind of a parting way, like what's some ideas or some thoughts that you would leave the audience with. If you were speaking to a complete dummy, I want like some advice, which are probably pretty simple. Go see Truss. If you are a mid-level dummy, what would be your advice to somebody who's moving into, you know, is looking to actually start moving into space or grow?
I mean, the first thing you have to do is you have to plan.
Yeah.
Before you talk to anybody, have a good financial model in place. Know exactly what you can afford to actually spend on rent before looking at anything. Pre-planning goes a long way in saving a lot of time and hassle. Truss can help you do that.
Awesome. Thank you very much for coming in here. Where do people go to learn more about you or connect with you? Do you have an email or anything like that? And obviously on social media, where do people go to find you guys and stay up to speed?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website's www.buildtruss.com. And you can reach me at bobby@buildtruss.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Bobby, so much for coming in.
Thanks, Scott.
You can listen to this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. And, of course, stay connected with Chicago Tech by following us on Facebook and Twitter @technori, or follow me @Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.